between the skill of the music and the lyrics of the music and some of the prayers, we've already had quite a worship service already, and I'm thankful for that. Our passage this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, and during the Advent season, we are going to specifically be using passages from the lectionary. The lectionary, as many of you know, it is kind of the church universal prescribed passages for a certain week, and so churches all over the world are looking at this one, and this is Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11, and I found it really interesting that this week, in looking into this passage, that there has never been an Advent season where this passage has not been highlighted in the lectionary. This announcement of God, of God's comfort, this announcement of God's pursuit of humanity, it completely epitomizes the whole idea of the Word becoming flesh. It epitomizes the idea of Emmanuel, God with us, and God entering into our world in the birth of Jesus. And so Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, it begins, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And the prophet says, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. You bring good news to Zion. Go up on a mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Friends, this is the word of the Lord, and together we say, thanks be to God. This passage was written by the prophet Isaiah, or some say Isaiah's, and that will make more sense as we go. And it was written to God's people while they were in exile. The same time that we sung about in our first song tonight, a time of difficulty, a time of confusion, a time when God's people were disoriented. Difficulty, confusion, disorientation. Have any of you had times like that before in life? Are any of you experiencing them right now? The Bible offers a term for difficult times like this. They call it times of wilderness. Times of wilderness are absolutely times in Scripture when people are taken from their homes, they're taken from their lands, all their possessions are taken from them, they're taken from their people. And maybe we can't relate to what that's like specifically. But times of wilderness in Scripture are also times where you're removed from what's familiar. Your routine has changed. Your freedoms and your choices suddenly are limited. You can't do what you used to do. I wonder, does any of that sound familiar? Anyone here out of a familiar routine? Anyone here feeling like your choices might be a little bit limited? Anyone unable to do the things that you want to do with the people you want to do them with? Maybe we can relate to this idea of wilderness. God's people, they knew about the wilderness, right? They were slaves in Egypt. That was a wilderness time. After they were freed, they wandered around after Mount Sinai for 40 years, literally in the wilderness. The Old Testament is full of examples where God's people, they're in disorienting, confusing times. But in order to really understand the good news and the comfort that Isaiah is pronouncing to God's people, we actually have to try to understand the bad news first and the time of pain. In exile, one of the prophets, during the same time, he's thinking back to the way things used to be when they were in Jerusalem, when they were in their home, and thinking back to Jerusalem, he says, "She, Jerusalem, weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all of her lovers, no one can comfort her." And then he says, "For these things I weep, my eyes flow with tears, for a comforter is far from me. Zion stretches out her hands, but there's no one to comfort her." During exile, the people of God literally felt there is no one to bring comfort. Comfort is something that we might hope for, but it's never coming. That's the pain. That's the bad news that all of God's people were experiencing. And then we come to Isaiah chapter 40. And beginning in verse 1, the words say, "Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service has been completed. Her sin has been paid for. She's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Friends, this comfort, this is unexpected. So unexpected, as I said before, some people think there must be two Isaiahs. Because the first Isaiah, the first author of Isaiah, chapters 1 through 39, it's all about tears and sorrow and warning and hurt. So people conclude there must be a second Isaiah because out of nowhere, nobody saw this coming. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 40, the whole discussion changes so quickly. The whole tone changes. Everything changes. In this part, the first part, it was all about judgment. Now it's all about grace. The first part, chapters 1 through 39, it was all about God's righteous indignation. But the second part, it's all about empathy and comfort and pity. In this famous Advent passage, all the bad news, all the pain that they were experiencing is gone, and hope is now in front of them. God is now saying, "Comfort is what you need. You've gone through the hard part, but comfort for your loss of land, your loss of your way of life, your loss of your people and your humanity, the loss of your common story. You need comfort now." Isaiah continues in verses 3 through 5, and he says, "A voice of one calling, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, every mountain will be made low. The rough ground will become level, the rugged places will become like a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people are going to see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Because God is now announcing comfort and healing and salvation, now the people have reason to dream. They dream about freedom. They dream about a time where God is going to rescue them, and it's going to be even bigger than the rescue that they've experienced in the past. It's not going to be for their people and their land. It's going to be for all people. It's going to be for the whole world. Every mountain, every valley, all of creation, all of people will benefit, and we see that reflected in the words of the prophet. In verse 3, there's this image of God laying down a road through the desert. And roads like that back then were typically used for processions. If you think about Jesus coming into Jerusalem, there's a procession, there's a road created. But this road is going to be created by lifting up the valleys and lowering the mountains and making the rough spots smooth. Why? So the journey from where you're going, from where you were to where you're going, becomes smooth and the journey becomes easy. And this is important. In this passage, the road starts in Babylon. It begins in Babylon, the place of wilderness. The road begins in the place of confusion and pain and disorientation. And it goes to the place where God is promising them, a place of health and of healing and of flourishing and good news. It begins in the wilderness, and it goes to where God wants them. Don't miss this. The road begins in the wilderness, in exile, in the hurt, in the pain, in the mistreatment. God enters into that place in order to give them a way out. God comes to us first. God enters our world with comfort. God enters our world with good news. Are we beginning to see why this is a classic Advent passage? The poet or poets of Isaiah, they're hundreds of years removed from the birth of Jesus and the Jesus story. But they're telling us the story of Christmas. We continue with verses 6 through 8, and it says, a voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? And he says, all people are like grass, and their faithfulness is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands and endures forever. Essentially, he's saying, all people were like grass, and our promises are simply like the flowers of the field. He's telling us that one of the things that the wilderness reminds us is that people, we tend to be inconsistent. We tend to be a little fragile. We tend to be a little bit weak and fleeting, every single one of us. But the word of the Lord, the one who's coming to us and being present with us in difficulty, the word of the Lord who's actually bringing to us in times of difficulty, comfort, and good news, that stands forever. As one author put it, if we're like grass, then maybe our Advent season should be less about us remembering how good we are at waiting for the birth of our King. But if the word of the Lord is what endures forever, then maybe our Advent season should be more about focusing on the routine and always rescue of God for his people. And then verse 9 through 11, it says, you will bring good news to Zion. Go up on a high mountain, you who bring good news to Jerusalem. Lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd, and he gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart, and he gently leads those who have young. In verse 1, Isaiah shockingly comes on the scene, and he said, God is bringing comfort. But in verse 9, he goes a step further, and he says, not only that, God is bringing us good news. In fact, verse 9 in all of the Bible, this is the first time that we see the words, the terms used in the original language for this idea of good news. God comes to us in our difficulty and in our wilderness with both comfort and good news. That's the Christmas story, right? Does that sound familiar? What did the angel say? I bring you good news of a great joy, which is for all people. This is very much in line with Isaiah. And then in verse 10, it talks about God coming with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. It's this picture of God as a commanding presence who goes out and gets stuff done and accomplishes things with power and speed and strength and force. And then suddenly there's a whole nother whiplash. It says that he, at the same time, he comes with power, but then he tends to his flock like a shepherd, and he gathers his lambs with his arms. Like I said, the idea of God being one who acts with force, and then the next moment, he suddenly acts with the characteristics of a shepherd. It's a whiplash. Those two pictures don't typically go together. They seem to be very different. Another prophet of the same time, Micah, he describes the coming Messiah and Jesus, and what does he say? He says he's going to be a ruler and a shepherd. When we experience times of wilderness and difficulty, we need to remember that God comes to us both with the power to save us, but also with the mercy and the grace and the comfort to care for us. Reflecting on this idea of acting with force and acting like a shepherd, I need you to know some of the things that I've been personally learning lately. Some of these things I absolutely should have known before. I didn't. I've been learning some things that took a handful of hour-long one-on-one sessions with a mentor to pastors to try to figure out for my doctorate degree. And what I learned is that if I'm given a job, a responsibility, a preferred picture of the future, that I like to go after that 100%, fast, quick, try to get there, just the way it was described, eyes on the prize, maybe like a horse with blinders. Even while accepting the call here to Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church, I accepted a call and I was given a job, a preferred view of what the future looks like, and a specific call. And I've gone after it. Probably oftentimes like a horse with blinders on, eyes on the prize, full steam ahead. Why? Because I really like that call. I really like the picture of what was described and the hope, and I think that it epitomizes the gospel and all these kinds of things. And I love it, and I think that a lot of us would too. And this whole idea of making disciples and being an evangelical church that is bringing people who aren't here yet. And so I went after it, probably with speed, probably with force, probably eyes on the prize, maybe blinders. But maybe not so much like one who comforts a shepherd. And what I've learned is that the call, that picture of the future, that is a priority, that was a priority at that time for some people and for really good reason, but not everyone. And going after that call, the way that I've done it at times, I've disconnected people from feeling like they belong to their own church. I've hurt people, maybe many people. I've been told I've emotionally detached people from their worship experience, especially people who at that time didn't actually need or feel that, you know, that call was necessary at the time of what it looks like. If I were to be more like God, which humans can't do because God is a spirit, but if I could take on the characteristics of God, if I could be more like Jesus as described by Micah, I probably would have gone after the call with force and speed and eyes on the prize, but also as a shepherd at the same time more so. And because I operate in one way more so than the other, I've hurt a lot of you, and I just want to apologize and say that isn't what pastors want to do. That's not what pastors try to do. But I apologize. There's no way I could be honest with what I'm learning right now with this coach. There's no way I can learn of what has been happening in the life of the church and study this passage from the lectionary without saying that. And so again, my apologies. And that's not the point of the passage, but it needed to be something to be learned. It needed to be said, probably better 3 years ago, but for some of us it takes longer. But maybe, if that's not the main point, maybe the takeaway from this passage is answering the question, how do we as followers of Jesus in this season, at stay-at-home orders, of lockdowns, at different tiers and colored tiers, how do we connect with the story of God's people and a time of exile thousands of years ago? For us, I don't even know if any of us know what it's like to be in exile as described in Scripture for the people in the Old Testament. But I'm sure a lot of us know what it's like to be out of rhythm. I know a lot of us know what it's like to be not be able to meet with friends and family and celebrate holidays the way we want to and share meals. So much of what has been familiar and what we desire has been stripped from us because of the pandemic. I wonder, is it possible that maybe we can connect with this classic Advent passage? That in this dark and confusing and hopeless as things are right now, God still wants to bring us a word of comfort like he says in verse 1. That maybe during this really difficult time that God not only just wants to bring us comfort, but he actually wants to bring us good news like he says in verse 9. And what is that comfort and what is that good news? Is that even in really difficult times and times of learning, we still have God's presence. He's with us now in hard times. God's presence is with us right now in difficulty. He's not waiting for us to get out of the difficulty in order to take us to the place that he wants to take us. He can begin that process right now. He comes to us with strength and mercy now because we don't need one or the other. We actually need both. And he's going to take us to a place of growth and flourishing and health. And so Isaiah says, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain will be made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. May our Advent season, as difficult as it might be filled with not just the glory, but a very real sense of the presence of the Lord. May it be so.